This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my Redeemer.
Amen.
During Advent, on the days when I'm here doing these short words, we're speaking from Advent scriptures. And this is one of the most powerful set of Advent scriptures, this whole part of Luke chapter 1. And just letting the Lord speak to us, just different truths, that because it's packed full. This will end up probably too next year or the year after that, another small book. We mentioned this the other day about Mary, that when the angel Gabriel, this archangel, comes to this teenage girl, probably 17 or 18, and announced to her that she has been a favored one. She's been graced. It's been part of her life, and that she, the Lord, was with her. You couldn't say anything more positive about somebody. For an archangel to come to you and say that to you, if that's happened to me, I'd be like, "Yes, thank you. I wasn't expecting that one." But instead, her response was that she was greatly troubled by the statement. And we mentioned that the other day, that I'm sure that Mary was troubled because she realized, and of course she says yes, but she realized that any time God's favor in your life has a manifest increase and God's purposes has an expansion in your life, there is a price to pay. There are some things you got to let go of. It's just part of the deal. Doesn't mean you have to pay a price to get there. It's not like you earned it, but it means that there's a price to pay with the blessing. Everybody wants to get blessed, but everybody doesn't want to always pay the price the blessing brings, and therefore the blessing, the favor, can only go so far, and then it's never completed, because the Lord asks us of some stuff. And one of the things that I'm sure that Mary thought of was, and it's interesting to me that when she begins to respond, and Mary said to the angel, "How can this be?" which we'll look at it another time, "since I have not been with a man." The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she has, who was called barren, is now in her sixth month. For nothing's impossible, or no single word that God speaks is impossible for him." And Mary said, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. It's interesting to me that Mary never said, "Well, what's going to happen between me and Joseph?" Because I'm sure that's one of the things that troubled her. Her whole future was in front of her. She was engaged. She was betrothed to Joseph. And so it's whatever point they were in that betrothal period, she was very close to the wedding ceremony that was going to be happening soon. She had known about this marriage for many years because they were arranged marriages. She and Joseph had known each other. They lived in the same little small town. So it wasn't like he just was brought into this room and said, "This is who you're going to marry." meet him for the first time. They had known each other in, for all their lives. And for some reason, people always want to paint the picture of Joseph like about 30 and Mary about 18. I don't know why that is. They were both just young people, fairly poor young people, and had known each other most of their lives or all of their lives. And so she had all these plans and dreams like any young woman would. So did he. And the truth is that she did pay a price. Nobody ever believed, except maybe a few people, that she had actually given birth to a boy because she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. There was no point of reference. Nobody could say, oh yeah, my cousin who lives just down the other road, same thing happened to her a few years ago, so this has got to be true. Joseph was concerned. This is Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. And his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, that's what, if you were engaged, you were called husband and wife. Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord comes to him in a dream, saying to him, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and on and on. So he says in verse 24, he arose from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he was called his name Jesus. Now, it doesn't say, it says, when she was found to be pregnant. The Luke passage says that after the angel says this to her, she immediately takes haste and goes into the mountains to visit with her cousin Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant. My tendency to think is that when she came down from the mountain is when she was found to be pregnant, when Joseph discovered it, whatever long that had been, a few months or weeks, or I don't know. And Joseph loved her. He was a righteous man. He didn't want anything to happen to her, for her to be an outcast or to be stoned. So he just wanted to put her away secretly. But here's the thing that's interesting about Joseph, because this is a story about Joseph and Mary. It affected both of their lives, of course. This is the genealogy of Jesus in Luke chapter 3. And it says that, verse 23, and when he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, being supposedly the son of Joseph. Not only did Mary have to live with the scandal all of her life that she had not been a moral person, Joseph did too. Once he chose to marry her, he had to live with the scandal that they had been together before the actual marriage. I mean, he married her immediately. That's not the way it worked in the Jewish custom. Can you imagine what people were thinking, saying, why did they get married so quick? All of a sudden they got married. There were plans, this big wedding. He was building this house for her. That's what they did. Yet they got married. So you have these young kids who are married, and they're both living under scandal. So when Mary says that she was greatly troubled, she was right to be greatly troubled. There was a lot of stuff going to be happening. She watched her son die. She experienced humiliation and rejection. Her reputation was destroyed forever. Joseph's reputation was destroyed forever. They lived as an alien in a foreign land. Do you know that, right? Jesus was an unregistered alien. He never went back to Nazareth, where he was born. I mean, to their hometown until later. Because they were still in Bethlehem when the angel said, you need to leave because Herod's trying to find the child to kill him. So they went into Egypt. They weren't Egyptians. Poor. He was a carpenter, so I guess he just had to make it work. There was a lot of stuff. And but I love about Mary is when she said how, and again we'll address that question later, she didn't say why. How many times do we go through things? Like we said the other day, she was troubled, and because sometimes God's favor or all the time, God's expanded favor will bring some place of testing, some price, something you have to lay down. But she never said why. Because when you're going through a really difficult time, is it possible, as we said the other day, that that's evidence of the fact that there's an expansion in God's purposes for your life going on? That God's doing something big? There's a release and manifestation of favor at a higher level happening? That we shouldn't just immediately practice the presence of the devil when we're going through things. We should look to Jesus. That's the whole Advent thing, with anticipation, expectation that the King, whose kingdom never ends. Do you realize that he said that? And his kingdom will never end. Do you know that what's going on in our nation, what's going on in the world, is not evidence that the kingdom has ended? It doesn't end. It hasn't ended. It didn't end with a pandemic. It doesn't end with elections, no matter who you might be for. It doesn't end when the economy goes down. It doesn't end when you're going through this situation. You're part of the kingdom. His kingdom has not ended. He's still reigning. He's still reigning on this earth. He's still reigning in your life. And yet we practice the presence of the devil so quickly. Do we deal with the devil? Yes. But we only glance at the devil and then say boo and gaze on Jesus, or it gets unhealthy. That's the biblical model. I'm actually roaming around a bunch of different places here. Jesus did all he did those things he saw the Father doing. He didn't say he only reacted to those things he saw the devil doing. He kept his eyes on the Father, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And so when you ask why, you're asking the wrong question. He's reigning. His kingdom hasn't ended. It's okay to ask, what? What are you doing here, Lord? What are you up to? With anticipation that he's always up to something good, even if the enemy sent the issue, right? Was it God that told those people to reject Joseph and Mary, to think badly of them, to reject them, to humiliate them, to scorn them in public? No. Who's that? That was at the enemy. But did God use that? Was God surprised it happened? No. It was part of the expansion. It was part of the favor, even the gift of battle. What I'm impressed with about Mary and about Joseph, these two young people, is that even though they knew that there was going to be an enormous price that comes with, they saw God's hand at work. They saw his favor. They looked to Jesus, looked to God, and didn't ask why. Because what he was doing in their life and what he was going to do through their life was infinitely more important than anything that they had to lay down. You with me? Keep your eyes on the goodness of God. He reigns. His kingdom doesn't end. And his goodness is the character of his kingdom. So if you're going through something, can't we trust him that your goodness is still here? Keep your eyes on Jesus and keep your eyes on the fact that he's reigning and he's doing something good. And if you need to tell the devil boo, tell him boo. But don't let the devil tell you boo, because then you'll start reacting to him all the time. Jesus told the devil boo all the time, but he practiced the presence of the Father. And he believed that the Father was doing it just right. I'm so grateful for Mary's testimony and Joseph's, who said yes. And we never have a place where they said why. Lord, cause your word to go deep. Bring forth the harvest in our hearts. Lord, you said that we're to fix our eyes on Jesus and that he is ordering our steps. And we can trust the one who reigns and whose kingdom never ends. His reign never ends, no matter what it looks like we're going through. He's reigning. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.